Up in prayer. Lord God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you for this morning, for the sun that actually came out and able to see. And thank you for the warmer temperatures that hopefully will be coming along with that. But I ask, Lord God, as we start this service, that you would be with us here today. Open our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our ears, our hearts, and just allow your word to sink in and to speak to us where we're at today, Lord. So I pray, Father, that you speak through me, that you use your words, that you strike out anything that I want to add or say, but that it'll come from you, Lord, and that you would be glorified through all this. And you say, amen. Well, fantastic. So how many of you guys know that we live in the world of change, right? Everything's changing around us. We look outside, the weather, it's beautiful one day, then the next day starts raining, then it starts snowing, then it starts hailing, and then all of a sudden the sun comes out, and eventually it starts warming up, and the plants start coming out, and it's exciting, right? Every season is exciting. Maybe there's change at work, or our families, our kids growing up, going from toddlers to teens to eventually getting married and going forward, and there's change there. There's change in ourselves, right? We age, we get older, we start getting gray hair, and we start forgetting things and all that crazy stuff. Our bodies change. I won't even go there. What happens when we start getting older? Because then we get all depressed. But change is inevitable, right? It's all around us. Like it or not, it's going to happen. But before we get into the word, let's look at some other things that have changed or are changing currently in our culture. The first one is cars, right? So in 1672, Ferdinand Verbeest, I probably totally screwed up that name, but was born in Belgium, and he was a missionary to China, right? And he actually created or invented the first car, and it was a steam car. So the AOC nowadays would love that car because, you know, there's no gas or anything. You guys know who AOC is? Is the Green Party. Okay, all right, they got one. All right. So anyways, so as you see there, I keep looking this way, but it's this way. So as you see there, there's a steam engine car. It's actually at the museum, and they kind of did a replica of it. They couldn't take pictures because they didn't have smartphones or anything like that, Twitter, Facebook, and all that. But eventually, they figured out what the car looked like, and there's the cars as they go through the years, and eventually the H2 there, that's pretty awesome. But cars are just currently changing every year, right? We got new models, new things coming out, new gadgets, and some of the cars even almost drive themselves, right? Well, if you own a Google car, it actually does drive itself. It doesn't even need you, right? So you don't even have to sit in the car. But now they're coming up with cars that actually fly. And that's kind of cool. So that's just a prototype that they're coming out with. So it's pretty exciting. So it's kind of cool. So the second one is fashion, right? How many of you know that fashion changes a lot? So originally, the first designers were, of course, Adam and Eve, when they introduced the leaf suit, right? So that way, and I don't have that picture up there. But the leaf suit, right? And then eventually what happened was, you guys know the story, and God had to say, you know what, let's go ahead and introduce the animal attire, right? And poof, that's where fashion took off, right? They started mixing and matching leaves with animal skin and all that. And I'm sure PETA would have been upset at the time and would have had something to say about that. But that was their attire. That was their fashion. It just exploded from there. So obviously, I couldn't get all the fashions in the world on one slide, so we just did more of the westernized attire there. And so some fashion good, some fashion not so good, right? And some fashions just don't want to die, and they keep coming back, right? And that's sad also. But we proceed. And then the last one is in 1876, Alexander Graham Bell invented the first phone, right? So back then, it was a great invention. It was a huge thing because it allowed people to not just be in one building, but they could communicate throughout their community and talk to each other. So there's the first phone in the 1876, and it goes to 1800s. And of course, you end up with 1970s, where there's a phone on the wall, and you have this big old huge core. Do you guys remember that? Some of you that you could walk from one end of the house and all the way through the house, and eventually, I can't. This is the furthest I could go, right? But doesn't that bring back memories? That's awesome. That's so cool, right? But back in the day, before there was Siri and Alexa and all that, they actually had to call operators, right? Yeah. So, you know, some of their names back in the time was Mary, Anna, Emma, and Elizabeth. Those were the popular names in the 1800s, according to Social Security records. So they used to have to call the operators, a real person, go figure, right? And ask them to put in a number to contact this one person, so that way they could relay that call. And then it's just like a big old spider web, unlike today, where we could just instantly connect with somebody, right, through our apps and whatnot. So back in the day, it was not a privilege, but novelty to have a phone. You know, it was important, but it didn't run our lives, right? So as you see, phones evolved. So I can put it in one slide. So we're going to go to the next one. And then we have the cell phone, right? Do you guys remember the first cell phone was a big old huge backpack, and you had to carry that around, and you had to plug it in, and the battery took forever to go. And then you were able to go to the second one and actually travel in your car, and you're like, you know, talking about it with the little thing on the side. I'm not that old, but I saw it, you know, in a movie. So that's how I know about it. But then it eventually starts evolving, the big old brick, and eventually the iPhone. And we went from being a novelty to actually an instrument that we could live without, right? We can't live without it. It kind of helps run our lives, right? So I'm sure that you guys probably have a cell phone. So how many of you guys have a cell phone? All right, see, almost everybody here, you can't live without it. Because otherwise you won't be able to know what your neighbor's doing through Facebook and Twitter and all that other stuff, right? Because that's how we get jealous. You know, we like that. We like to be jealous. But anyways, so that's change that goes on through our lives. Some good, some bad. Sometimes we look to the good old days and we go, oh man, I remember those days. Oh, that brings back memories, kind of like we just did. But sometimes we also look back and it's not the good old days, right? Maybe there was hurt, maybe there were struggles, maybe there was some pain that you went through, and you're working through that. You know, I just talked to somebody just recently, and they were talking about how they're going through things, and just now they're starting to try to figure things out from their youth, right? Is we're always changing, we're always trying to improve, we're always trying to better ourselves, right? And to find a way to find that healing. So along those lines is we try to look for something that's for today, something that's unchanging, right? Something that we could depend on, something that we could look forward to. So that brings me to our verse for today. It's Hebrews 13:8, if you want to break out your cell phones. But how do you guys know that verse? Right there on the wall. All right, that's a good answer. So you don't even have to take out your cell phones, right? So it's right there for you. I actually put it up on the slide, but then I figured, well, you know, it's right there too. But hey, it's cool. So you guys should know this. So how about if you guys read the verse to me? Starting now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Action. And forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that awesome? That although there's change going on around us, although there's changing that's going on in every part that we touch in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the same. He's unchanging. He's always present, right? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that something that just kind of makes you go, all right, this is great. This is good. So, you know, we are a work in progress. There's things that we're going through. We make mistakes, we learn, we change, we grow, and we keep trying to improve ourselves, right? But the cool thing is that God never changes. He's always the same. He's always constant, always the same, never changing. God is perfect. And that's why that verse is so awesome, because That's somebody that we could depend on Jesus, that we could depend on that word. When our lives are inconsistent, he's consistent. When our lives are inconsistent, he's consistent. Amen? Right? Sometimes we just need some normality. Sometimes we just need something that's going to be stable. And that's who that is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that makes everything great. He's the one that he's present. He's present yesterday. He's present today. And he'll be present in the future. And that means that we can trust him at every moment. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how you're struggling, or no matter what you're celebrating, no matter what's exciting coming up, is that Jesus is always going to be there. He's always going to be celebrating with you through the high and lows. So through this little verse right here, short verse, is we come to this realization, these three things, right? The first one is Jesus' name is powerful. Amen? Okay, you guys with me? Are you guys missing your husbands and you know partners and all that? So let's wake up a little bit. The name of Jesus is powerful. Amen. All right, thank you. That's awesome. You know, any power that's attributed to Jesus comes from the person of Jesus, right? Of who he was when he walked this earth and what he did on the cross and in the grave. You see, the name of Jesus is not a special name. The name of Jesus doesn't carry anything that's, that's magical. The name of Jesus is just the name. Back in that day, that was a popular name to give a person, was the name of Jesus. Right? So there's no special arrangement of words or anything like that saying, well, if you capitalize the J, and so that means that's the real Jesus. If you don't capitalize it, that means it's not the real Jesus. It has nothing to do with the name. It's the person, right, of what he did. I've met a lot of Jesuses in my, or you don't call them Jesuses, we call them Jesuses, right? I could say that because I'm Hispanic. Anyways, we don't call them Jesuses, we call them Jesuses, but I've met a lot of Jesuses that are not the greatest people, right? And you're going, well, but you're Jesus. You know, what's up with that? So it's not about the name. It's about the person. It's about the person who came and is the Son of God in the flesh that walked on this earth. It's the name that is above all names. It's the name that came and shed his blood for you, for me, for your kids, for your husbands, for even our world leaders, right? He's the one that died for them. Jesus Christ is the one that died and conquered the grave. He conquered death so that way he could bring what? Salvation. Right? That is the powerful name of Jesus. That name in believing in that person is what brings healing, miracles in our lives. And that is so cool. That is awesome because it gives me something to really build my foundation. And when I'm going through things and I'm struggling with things as I am almost every day, that I can look at Jesus' name and say, okay, you know what? He's my one constant. Even though my life is going crazy, even though my life is exciting, even though my life is, I don't know what I'm going to do, is that Jesus is always going to be there. Right on? And that's what's awesome about that name. And that's what's awesome about that whole verse. So in Romans 10:13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that goes for you, that goes for me, that goes for people who don't believe, is as we walk through our communities, we pray for our communities, we pray for our schools, our leaders and whatnot, is that we can intercede for them so they can find God, so they can find Jesus. You know, you're part of that story. It's not just about Jesus dying on the cross and conquering the grave, but he's now saying, you know what, you're part of that story. I want to use you. What's your calling? What do you want to do? Can you help me? So he's not a guy that just wants to do it by himself. He's saying, you know what, come alongside me and let's do this together. The second point is that Jesus never changes, stays the same, right? So Jesus Christ is the same. in John 8, we could read a story, which I'm not going to read. I'm just going to paraphrase it, but you guys could write it down and maybe read it later on. But you probably already know the story of where some religious leaders, some Pharisees come. They bring a woman who had committed adultery to Jesus for him to condemn her, right? And hopefully for him to say something that will rile everybody up so they can use it to kill him, right? Isn't that some nice leaders right there? Hey, let's bring this woman here so that way we could get him to say something so we could kill him later on. Oh, that's awesome. Amen. All right. Okay. And then they go on, right? So here's these people bringing this woman in. They throw her in front of them. And you guys probably seen the Passion of the Christ, what he gets down and he writes on the in the dirt, right? You guys know the story. And then little by little, all the accusers start to leave because he's condemning them. It's believed that he was probably writing down one of their sins or whatnot, and then people were leaving and disappearing. But eventually the woman gets up and Jesus forgives her, right? He forgives her. But then everybody else starts getting upset. All the other leaders that were condemned, they start like getting in his face, going, wait, no, what's that? We want you to say something, right? And then they start having this kerfuffle, right, with the leaders. That's kind of like an argument, trying to be cool here. But anyways, so they start having this argument, and they're having the argument. Jesus is like kind of laughing at them, going, whatever. But everybody's listening to this, and they're talking and they're sharing, and Jesus starts telling them the story about Abraham and who Abraham is, and that the Pharisees were going, wait a second, Abraham's my father. We're sons of Abraham. And then Jesus goes, well, no, not really. You're not, because you're not acting like Abraham did. And he said, well, you know what? You should have seen Abraham when he was talking about me, coming in the future. His face just lit up, exploded. And people were like, what? What are you talking about? And he's got all mad and riled up and made them even angrier, right? And in John 8, 57 through 58, we actually catch the last part of the story. This is where I kind of wanted to talk about was this part. It says, the people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? So they start questioning him right there, right? Jesus was only, what, in his 30s. Abraham was, one or two years before that. Well, actually, a lot of decades before that, right? So he was pretty much already dead, buried, and he's probably up in heaven, and the bones are probably gone and all that. So they're looking at it in the right now going, you're not even 50. How can you say that you've seen Abraham? And then Jesus says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Right? So the leaders were going, I am what, Jesus? Finish the sentence. I am what? What are you? Crazy? Right? And they start going off on that. And then eventually they had to grab Jesus and they took him away. Right? His disciples took him away and they hit him and whatnot. But I am. You know, it might be a little bit awkward grammatically, right, to say this, to end with this, but it's actually correct. I am. So he didn't say, I was. He didn't say, I was there. He didn't say, I kind of was behind the scenes and I saw it. He was saying, I am. He was present at that time. You know, just God is simply is. Jesus simply is. No matter where you look at it, past, present, or future, is that he's there. Isn't that cool? We don't have to explain anything to God because he's like, oh, yeah, that just happened. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I forgive that. Oh, yeah, let's celebrate this. Oh, yeah, this is cool because he's always present and he's always working. You know, whenever we look at the timeline like we did with the other things with the car and fashion and cars, right? We saw a timeline and we saw the past, and the past is never going to come back. But with God, when we look at the timeline, he lives outside of that timeline. God's above that. He's always is. He's constant. There is no timeline with God. He's real. He's in our present, in our past, and in our future. He's a present-day God. So I think that's pretty cool. So God's word is steadfast, reliable, dependable, and always the same. And I think one of the cool things, so as I read this, is I think it's awesome that Jesus, his his dad's words, Father God, and says, and he quotes them out of Exodus, and he goes, I am. Just like my dad, I am, when he was talking to Moses, I am right now too. Because he is God. Isn't that cool that he quotes his own dad? That's awesome. So hopefully my kids will quote me the good things. No, just joking. Anyways, so Jesus, right? He covers all seasons. He covers all seasons. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Yes. That's awesome. Because sometimes when we look at our yesterdays, is in our yesterdays, he covers our shames. He covers our failures of the past. But he's also there, like I said, to celebrate. He covers our things that make us upset and we struggle with. Maybe it's something that we grew up with or something that happened to us or something that we went through. He covers that. That's amazing. You know, when I look back at my life, I didn't grow up as a Christian. You know, so when my dad passed away, I had to go to Colombia for 4 years. And that was, at the time, the worst time ever. Because I went to a country that they didn't speak English, so I didn't speak Spanish. So I had to communicate with pictures and hand signals just to tell them that I wanted to eat or I wanted to go somewhere. And it was a horrible time, right? Just because I was away from family. I wasn't there with family. They actually sent me to family, right? So when I came back in my teenage years, then I started looking at myself like it was me against the world. I was always angry, always trying to prove myself, always trying to show off in front of other parents because I wanted them to notice me and see how awesome I was at sports. So it was a struggle to always prove myself. And the way I did it was through sports, right? But it was just me. But then once I became 23 and I joined the military is where I got, where I accepted the Lord in my heart at 23 years old in the military, which in itself, that's a miracle too, right? Because if you guys know anything about the military, most of the time people go the other way, right? But God was there and he met me in England, Croughton, a little base with about 20,000 sheep and maybe 100 personnel people, right? It was a comm base. And that's where I got to know who Jesus was. That's where I got saved. And then fast forward a few more years is then I started looking back and figuring out what happened in my life. And I started seeing how God was actually working in Colombia, putting me in places where I was hearing the word. I don't even remember that until I started talking to my uncle. And then my mom gave me some letters that she had. And I read through them and I started looking at it. And I started realizing that God was there with me. God was there preparing the road for me. God was there reaching out already. God was there planting a seed. God was there intervening. God was there already doing something when I wasn't even ready to receive. Isn't that awesome? That's just amazing that God would care for me that much, that he's setting things up. So it didn't matter how old I was. God's going, you know what? I see you right here, but don't worry. I got your back. I got your future. And at 23 is when I accepted Christ. Those seeds that were planted in my heart was at 23 when it started to take root. That's amazing. And I'm sure each one of you guys have that same story, not that same story, but your own story of how you could look back and you could see how God was doing things. And you could see God preparing things in the background. But you know what happens? Sometimes we take God for granted. Sometimes we just have to be reminded, oh yeah, communion. What did God do? Okay, yeah, he died for me and he conquered the grave. All right, cool. I'm good. But it's actually, what is he doing? And sometimes we have to look in the past and say, God, you were there. You were working. You are working. But we take it for granted, right? I take them for granted. You know, there's times where I do my own thing and I'm going, oh, yeah, God, I need to spend time with you. Oh, yeah, God, you know, I got Wednesday night volleyball. I'll figure out some other time to read your word that day. Maybe tomorrow. You guys ever done that? I know I have. So my question to you today is, in your relationship with God, what have you taken for granted? Maybe you put them on the shelf and said, okay, I'll be right back. I want to enjoy this season of my life. And then once I need you, then I'll pull you back down so that way you can help me out with this. No, God's saying, no, I want to be there. I want to walk alongside you every step. This brings us to the next one. Today, He is faithful in our real life, with our real life challenges. He comforts us. He brings us peace. He brings us hope. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." How hard is that, right? Walk by faith and not by sight. That's a hard thing to do. Because when we don't know what the outcome's going to be, we're what? Hesitant. We don't want to take that first step. We start thinking. We start talking our way out of things. Maybe I shouldn't go after that job. Maybe I shouldn't enroll that school. Maybe I shouldn't pay that much. You know, maybe I don't want to buy that car. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. And we start second-guessing everything, right? But maybe if we spend time with God, maybe He's telling you to move forward. Maybe He's telling you to do something. Maybe He's telling you to step out and have faith. You know, one of the awesome stories in the Bible is the story of Esther. Have you guys ever read Esther? That's an amazing story. And through the whole story, as you read it, 10 chapters, that there's no mention of God. No mention about Him or anything like that. But guess what? Even though He wasn't there, even though there was things going on, He was present. Even though that the Persian king wanted to kill the Jews. Hello, have you heard that story before, right? They wanted to kill the Jews. God was working in the background to get people to band together. He starts talking to people through the Spirit. Who does He talk to? Mordecai. And Mordecai talks to Esther, and Esther starts to move. She had to have faith because she was kind of watching out after her own self. If you really read the story, she's going, I don't want to die. I don't want to do this. Right? But then it's Mordecai that pushes her, that gives her a nudge. See, sometimes we need somebody to give us a nudge. Sometimes, there you go, that's right, sister. Right? Is that sometimes we just have to band together and have somebody to encourage us and walk alongside us. And there was Mordecai there for Esther. And I don't have this in the slide, but in chapter 4, I just looked at it this morning as I was just going through things, is he confronts her, right? And says, hey, you know what, Esther? You need to do this for our people. Otherwise, we're going to be losing a lot of people here, right? And then and if you want to turn in your Bibles or in your smartphones, but if you want to write down your notes for later, it's Esther 4, and I'll start with halfway through 13, verse 13. It says, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace that you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. Ouch, right? So don't think for a moment, because there's more. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from another place. You see, he's saying God will bring up somebody else. If you're not going to be obedient, then God's going to figure something else. He already has plan B set up, but he wants you to be plan A. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just a moment like this. Perhaps you were made queen for just a moment like this. So let me ask you this. Has God been preparing you for something for this time? Has God been preparing you for something for you to carry on and just to have some faith in accomplishing it? I've been there. I've been there where I needed a nudge. You know, maybe it's my wife. So next weekend we're going to celebrate 24 years of marriage. That's pretty cool. No, please stop. Okay. 24 years. A big deal. Okay, all right, okay. Thank you. I'm just kidding. All right. So, but maybe he's asking you to do something, right? So on there, Mordecai tells them, or tells her, right, what was going to happen. And right there is when finally it clicks for Esther, and she goes, all right. In verse 15 it says, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or 3 nights. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it's against the law, I will go and see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. So finally she realizes, okay, you know what? You're right. God put me in this position. God put me for this time right now. Even though I may die, I'm going to move forward in faith. And then the rest of the story is just amazing, you know, and God just shows himself through the whole thing. But it's reminiscent of what we're going through. Sometimes we're going through things that we don't hear God. Sometimes we're going through things and it feels like you're alone. Sometimes we're going through things and it feels like God's not even present. Where are you? God, where are you? You guys know what I'm saying? And God's saying, chill, chill. I'm right there. I'm there. I'm your rock. I'm your rock. I'm your foundation. Just trust me. Just trust me with this. And sometimes we have to be like Esther. We have to trust. And we just have to walk. And we just have to take that first step. So today, what's God revealing in you? What's God setting up? What circumstances are you in that God wants to use you in? That's a hard question, because then we have to stop thinking about ourselves and go, okay, well, where's God working? What is he doing? Right? So where do you see him working? Forever. He knows our future, and he already has it planned for us. He knows our future. He knows what's going to happen, but he's there to help you along the way. Sometimes we look into the future and we feel kind of down because we're anxious because of things that might happen, because we don't know what's going to happen, so we start worrying about it. But Jesus is there to say, you know what? Don't worry about that. I'll carry your burden. I'll help you take that from you. So he is the foundation we could trust in the future, a word we could stand on. Jesus is our source, our sufficiency, and our salvation. When we spend time in the Word, when we spend time in prayer, when we spend time in worship, when we spend time with other believers, he's going to give us wisdom. He's going to give us guidance. He's going to give us direction. He's going to speak to us. But you're not going to hear until you start spending some time with him. No amens there. But trust me, right? Is I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm not here to try to challenge you or try to say, why aren't you reading your Bible? I don't know where you're at with your relationship. But I do feel like God's calling somebody here, saying, you know, come back to me. You've forgotten what I've done in the past. You've forgotten how I took you out of a situation. You've forgotten how I've met your needs. God's calling and saying, you know what, right now I'm working through things. You may not see that. You might be going through a struggle. You might be going through some circumstances that are not so great, but I'm right there. You just don't see me because your eyes are blinded because of what's going on right now. But I'm right there with you. And in the future, God's going, I got your back. I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk alongside you. You just got to trust me that I'm planning these things for you. Amen? You know, sometimes we walk in fear. Sometimes we allow fear to stop us. Sometimes we allow fear to cast a shadow over us where we don't want to move forward. And that's not from God. That's not from him. He's like the sun outside going, you know what? Here's all these roads that you could take. It's going to lead to where I want you to be. So So it might be different roads. Might not seem to be the same yellow brick road that you're going to have to take. There might be a few yellow brick roads. And you get to choose. And God's going, I can work with that. But we just have to be obedient. Are you willing to be obedient? So what decisions are you facing today that need the wisdom of God or direction? What dreams and hopes have died and have gone to the wayside that need to be rekindled? Maybe something that God had put on your heart to do, but you're not carrying it forward because of that guilt and shame, or of that fear, or of that anxiety, that you haven't done it yet. What needs to be rekindled in your heart? What needs do you have today that needs to be given to Him? Maybe there's something that you've grown up with your whole time. You know, working out of school, we have students that, you know, have been through bad situations. We have students where they struggled with abuse or all kinds of issues. And we say, you know what, kids are resilient. They could get over it. They'll just let it go. But then they hit high school and they're depressed, anxious, no self-esteem, suicidal, right? And I'm sitting in a meeting with them, and I can't pray with them, but I could pray with them. Does that make sense? As I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to ask God for wisdom in that time to give that student, to give that athlete, or to give to that girl who doesn't have no self-esteem and is connecting her to resources. You know, roundabout ways, always ask about spirituality and where they're at. You can't say where you're at with Jesus because, you know, that's wrong. But you can't ask, hey, where are you with spirituality stuff? And someone will say, oh, I kind of go to church. Oh, cool, that's an open door. I get to talk to them. And there's God, again, working in the today that nobody sees, preparing for the tomorrow that they get to experience that they walk along that. Wasn't that awesome? That's exciting. That makes me happy. That's why I love doing what I'm doing. Because I get to help students who are struggling. I get to help students who are going through things. And you could do the same thing. I'm sure there's people in this church that are going through things that maybe just need somebody to talk to or pray over. Maybe it's at work that somebody just needs a hand for support. Maybe it's at home, praying for your home. Bring in other believers in to pray and to shower that house with prayer and asking God to protect it, asking God to do a mighty work in there. Amen? So, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those are words that we could stand on. Those are words that we could depend on. Those are words that we could look forward to. And I'm not sure how else I could share those things and how many more times I could say He never changes. But there is a cool verse in 1 Peter, and we'll end with this. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25. It says, for ye have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Isn't that awesome? Your new life will last, what? Okay, that was weak. Right. Okay. Your new life will last what? Forever, right? So not in this world, because I think the first thing you think of going, oh, shoot, I don't want to be here forever. But we're talking about forever as in His presence. We're talking about forever walking as sons and daughters of our God in heaven. Okay, yeah, it's a little bit down. Okay. Your new life will last because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, the people are like the grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. All right, that was good. All right. And the word is the good news that was preached to you today. Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity. I thank you for this time that you've blessed us to come together and just to get into your word, even though it was just one small verse, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. is that there's so much more to unpack there. Three simple phases in life, past, present, and future, that you're always there, you're always present. You're never changing. We talk about how powerful your word is, your name is, not because of the name, but because of the person. And we talked about in the future, what you're preparing for us, how you're moving ahead to take us down to that one road that you really want us to go on, so that we could reach out to people that maybe need it, so that way we could work on ourselves to find that confidence, that self-esteem maybe that we need, that self-belief. Dad, I just want to say thank you for loving us. I just want to say thank you for caring for us. I just want to say thank you for believing in us. And likewise, I ask for each one of these believers here and myself that we could continue to look forward to you. May we not get complacent or take you for granted, but that we could always be remembering what you did. That every day that we wake up and our feet hit that floor, it's a remembrance that you've worked in our lives, where you brought us from, where you're taking us, and what we're going through right now. So, Dad, we just give you all the honor and praise to you. And may today be the first day of continual praise, because you are a mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks, you guys. It was, again, fantastic being here with you guys. And always look forward to coming, sharing the word, because the word is the word of God and it's for everlasting. So as I prepare for messages, usually it works a lot in my heart too. So amen. Well, you guys have a great day. It's only 11:30, so you should be able to get to a restaurant without having to wait too long.